we want to look now at animation. In other words, when you speak, you are to be animated with your whole body, your hands, your eyes, your face, your feet. Animation, you want to, you're not talking to dead people or funeral directors, you're talking to living people. So be alive. God gave you this body. When we communicate, we don't just communicate through our voice. Now that's the most important tool. But we communicate with our face. So let's look at animation and the different parts of our body. First of all, body language, the whole of the body. We communicate through the whole of our body. Walking around, leaning forward like this, sitting back like we're really contemplating and thinking about something or speaking of something important. Looking relaxed, looking very, very intense and serious right now. And when you speak, use your entire body. This is so important when you're with children. When you're with children, you need to walk around a lot. Get right up in front of their faces. In fact, I've always done this. I've done camps for years. I love speaking to children. And if there's someone bad and they're talking, I don't yell at them. I just sort of walk over by them and just stand right in front of them. And all of a sudden, they get real quiet. They think, I can't take this. I'll be quiet. You can do so much with your body. Hand motions. Luke records in the book of Acts, and Paul spoke, and he lifted his hands, or he raised his hands, he moved his hands. Paul must have spoke with his hands a lot. I have some very, very good Italian friends. In fact, we have missionaries to Italy, so we've been very involved in the work in Italy. And I always tell the Italians, they talk with their hands. They're just constantly talking like this, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they got more hand motions than you can possibly imagine. Very exciting to watch them, very, very animated as they talk to you, and very excitable as they talk to you. You have to concentrate on what they're saying. Use your hands. All right, we're talking about Ephesians chapter 6 here and prayer. So when you're talking about prayer, put your hands in a posture of prayer. Put your head down. Lift your hands in prayer as you're explaining to them, we have this incredible ministry of intercession for other people. That's an incredible ministry. You ever hear people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to serve the Lord. Well, first of all, I get all upset going, you don't know what to do. First thing is you can have a ministry of intercession. You're a believer priest. Everyone can have a ministry. We're to be praying for other people. We're believer priests. What a wonderful ministry this is. So, encourage people, and when you're speaking to them about the ministry of intercession, raise your hands. Look up into the heavens. Fold your hands. Put your head down. All these movements sort of visualize what you're saying with your mouth. Use your fingers. Use your fists. Use the open palm. Use your hands like this. Appeal to people. Now, you have to be careful what culture you're in. In some cultures, if you use the finger like this, that's actually not acceptable, and it's really actually offensive to people. In other cultures, it's a very strong hand movement pointed to something important. So you need to know your culture and know how to use hand movements. You'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. Hand movements can give you great power in your speaking. It compels people to listen to you. And then facial movements. You have a face, and the face can express all kinds of emotion. And when you're speaking, if you're excited about the Word of God, and you're thrilled to teach the Word of God, your face should express that. It shouldn't look like it's killing you to talk, hurting you, like an African-American black preacher who I've known for years, he used to say, you look like you've been baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a dill pickle. Looks like it's hurting you to preach. Use your eyes. Use the direction of your head. If we're talking about prayer, you may want to put your head far down. You may want to lift your head up. You may want to smile. You may want to look really sad. Use your face. It's a powerful instrument animating you, communicating what you feel, communicating the very message of the text. And then smile, smile. When you get up to speak, it's a good thing to start by smiling. Now, again, we're not being manipulative. We're just understanding the process of delivering a message. These are basic things. I'm not giving you anything special. Everything I've done in this series is basic. Now, when you get up and you smile at the audience and you look joy, it tells people you're happy and you're joyous. You're just can't wait to get into this. And it makes people respond to you that way. If you're happy and joyous about this message and about teaching, they're going to be joyous. Again, if it looks like it's going to kill you to do this, they're going to go, that poor man. Oh, we feel so sorry for him. He's got to do this for 45 minutes. I've got a good book to read, though. Always bring a good book. No, don't do that. Don't do that. During the message, you can smile. It's an amazing thing how if you have the facial expression of the smile, and you can train yourself to smile more. Some people do not smile naturally, but you can train yourself. Just at first, it's almost forced to smile. But after a while, these muscles will literally build and it'll become more natural. Again, we're not saying this to manipulate people. It's a fact of life that when you smile, you communicate joy and that you're excited about doing this. So if you have a natural face that looks sad or dour, you can work on that and you should be concerned about that. And then posture. Be very careful you don't just slouch over or you're bent over or just lean on the pulpit unless you actually have to lean on the pulpit because you're so old. I recently heard a 96-year-old man speak and he had to hold on to that lectern so that he would be able to stand. That's okay. When you're 96, you can do that. In fact, in our church, we had a man teaching the Bible up until he was 99. He actually could function quite well at 102. And here's what's exciting about this man. At 102, he wanted to talk about commentaries and about the books he had read. I think of some of these young people, they've stopped learning at the age 24, 25. Here he is, 102, learning, excited about the Lord, talking about the Lord. Posture, stand up straight. Have strength when you're speaking. Look strong, walk strong. Be alive. Be alive. You're not talking to dead people. You're talking to living people. So be alive when you speak. And if in your speaking you can move around and walk around and come to the side of the lectern, stand behind the lectern, you can even go out into the audience if it's the right situation, walk right out into the audience, particularly with young people and if you're very close to people. And even if you're seated in a seated position in a home Bible study, you can shift around and you can stand. Now, all of this is very, very important if you're speaking to children. Do not speak to children like you're a dead person, the walking dead. With children, you must be animated and use your voice, use your facial, use your hands, your feet. Move close to them, step back from them. Keep them with you. Look them right straight in the eye. Step back, look away. They'll follow you much better. But I think the same thing is true with older people. Use your entire body to communicate the most wonderful truths in all the world, the truths of the Word of God. Now, humor, 6. Humor is a great tool. If people laugh, it's interesting, the biological change in their face and in their bodies when they laugh. And they're enjoying the message and they're able to just sort of express themselves through laughter. It certainly works very well and it keeps the audience with you. But there's great dangers in humor. Don't try to be funny. Humor has to be natural. And if you're not a naturally humorous, funny person, do not try to be that. It's very dangerous. But if you can very naturally say a humorous thing, it can be very effective to keep the audience awake. And again, it puts a very positive tone to the entire message. People actually look forward to something that brings laughter because there's great medicine in laughter. But I must warn you that we're involved in very serious business. Teaching the words of God is serious business. You're changing lives. You're working with lives. You want transformation. You're not just giving a bunch of facts to people. You want to move them. You want to move their brain and their heart and their change of behavior. So we're involved in very serious business. It's not a joke, and we don't want to just keep people laughing. That can be a total distraction. So humor is very good, very positive thing to use, but it's got to be kept under control, and it needs to go along with the message and support the message and not be something totally away. And that's why you have to be very careful of jokes. The jokes need to fit, or a humorous story. I heard one just the other day. A preacher started an Easter message with a very humorous joke or a story. I'm not even sure what it was, but it was totally appropriate to the message, and it got the audience immediately to laugh hilariously, and it just gave a whole positive tone. And then the preacher went into a very serious message of the resurrection. It was a good message. So use it cautiously.